If you don't know, I actually have two favorite services in Mamlaka Hill Chapel, and they're actually the testimony services. I really do look forward to them quite a bit. Glad to hear what the Lord is doing. So like today I found out that Reverend Mwangi was a Sunday school teacher many years ago. If any of you here 24 years ago was in Sunday school and you passed through Reverend Mwangi's hands, please see me after the service. I want to see something. I want to see something. John Agagwa is my name. I serve as one of the pastors here. I'm married to one Elizabeth, and together we have been blessed with two wonderful daughters. I'm very elated to be their father and to be her husband. Few things give me so much joy in this life. So if you have time, get married for those of you who... Today, I'd like us to turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. We'll be reading verse 6 and verse 7. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and minds in Christ Jesus. And that is the word of the Lord. Our Lord, we are grateful for your word. We ask that by it you would feed us. In Jesus' precious name, amen. My dad passed away in 2007. After the initial shock, I was smack in the middle of secondary school at the time. After the initial shock, I remember grappling with many anxieties. Who would protect us? How would my mom cope? My dad was the sole breadwinner in our home. And of particular concern for me at the time was the issue of school fees. How was I going to complete my education? In fact, the anxiety about that particular issue weighed so heavily on me, it pretty much debilitated me. I moved from being a very well-performing student to a not-so-very-well-performing student in a span of very short months. Interesting fact, my teachers actually refused to give me the final, the last exams I did before KCSE, because they told me if we show you the results, you'll be too discouraged to pass. So I don't know how I performed in that particular exam. So that's how bad it was. I'm not sure why, but on one particular day, the principal of our school at the time called me to his office and assured me that I don't need to be worried about my fees. In essence, he said to me, don't be anxious for your fees. We sat down with our PTA, that was the Parents Teachers Association, and we determined that you will never be sent home for fees. You will sort out in future when you're able to just focus on your studies. Well, the results were almost immediate. I felt this sense of peace, and I was able to start thinking and studying and doing better in my exams. In fact, I did so well, I was part of the top 100 in my year. Now, I have been looking for a way to tell you this for so many years. But finally, the Lord has provided an opportunity for me to share with you this testimony. What I am saying is that I defeated people who went to Alliance. Well, the point I'm making is this, that because of the principal's assurance, I had the peace to study and therefore pass my exam. Well, today our text, God is doing with us at a cosmic level what the principal did with me in his office on that day. He gave me an assurance, and that assurance gave me peace. Well, God says in these scriptures, be anxious for nothing, and the peace of God will guard your heart. Whilst the new year carries with it a sense of renewal, hope, and a fresh start, it also often carries with it a subtle, often unspoken anxiety and care and worry. This is especially true if the previous year ended for you on some cliffhanger. Maybe it was a financial one or a relational one. And there's a subtle care that is there in your heart. And if you allow it to fester, it can become a seed of anxiety and worry. And often it has been asked, what is God's word for this year? Whilst I might not give you the specifics, I can guarantee you, based on the authority of the scriptures, that this scripture is as much God's word to us for last year as it is for this year, as it will be for next year, that you are to be anxious for nothing. I hope, therefore, to persuade you in some short minutes from this text that this year, be anxious for nothing, because God is concerned about you. Our passage today is concerned with this subject of anxiety. Our text is one of Paul's many imperatives to the saints in this church at Philippi. He says to them, right alongside the command to stand firm in the Lord and to rejoice in the Lord and be moderate in all things, he instructs them, be anxious for nothing. What exactly does this instruction mean? The word that has been translated here literally has been pulled out of a word that means to pull apart, to divide or preoccupy out of care and concern. The idea is to be apprehensive in a distracting nature. The word has the connotation of dividing or pulling apart out of care and concern. The full context of the verse shows us what this care and concerns pulls us out of. It says, be careful for nothing, but by prayer and supplication, make your request known to God, and the peace of God will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. It is evident that Paul is warning against a care and a concern that pulls us apart, or as it were, divides us from God and prayer and peace. In this light, we might therefore define anxiety as processing our cares and concerns apart from faith in God. And this so often happens to us, so sadly we are seldom even aware that we are doing it. Anxiety pulls us out of God and inwardly into ourselves, and we find ourselves often spiraling into untold panic. Such concern is contrary to prayer, and it is often without peace and has no rest in God. It is therefore easy to see why the scripture unequivocally tells us that this attitude is not for the child of God. It is not to be the primary marker of the life of Christians. Remember, beloved, this is not a suggestion. It is a command. The scripture is not calling us to reduce anxiety where possible. It is telling us to be anxious for nothing, right alongside the other commands of scripture, to pray without ceasing and bear the burdens of one another. God calls us to be anxious for nothing. In other words, failure to obey this command, like any other command of God, is sin. I fear, though, that anxiety and worry are so part and parcel of our modern lives that we seldom, if ever, recognize it as sin. When was the last time you repented and asked God to forgive you for worry and anxiety? And yet, we must be forgiven, for we are so prone to anxiety, are we not? Rather than pull us out of ourselves to lean on God, our concerns and cares more often than not do the exact opposite. They pull us from God into ourselves, into worry and panic and anxiety. This is a result of the fall. Thus, God must instruct us against this so easy inclination of our hearts. And yet, it is also instructive to notice what Paul is not saying in this verse. He's not saying here that there is nothing to be anxious for, per se. He does not invalidate the cares and concerns of the saints. Paul is aware that we live in a broken world that is rife with disease and economic upheavals and war and conflict and relational problems. Paul is saying, if this were all that it was, we would be validated to be anxious. But this is not the Christian's full story. Though saints may have loss and pain and turmoils in this broken world, saints also have God. And they need not be anxious for anything. This command is really an instruction to factor God in. We are to wage a war, a victorious war against anxiety, focusing our minds on God, who is sovereign over the circumstances, rather than the circumstances that tempt us towards anxiety. See, the saints, by the power of the Spirit in the gospel, are not to remain victims of anxiety and worry. Rather, we are to, by God, to truly be anxious for nothing. Yes, the command shows a portrait of the sinful posture of our hearts, because we are often warned about the things we are inclined towards. But it also shows us the picture of what lies ahead for those who by the Spirit will put to death the sin of worry. It is a life free of anxiety. Have you ever considered that the one that is writing this instruction to the saints is writing it from prison? Paul was in prison. You would think that it is the Philippians that should write to Paul, encouraging him, telling him, "Don't be anxious, Paul." But Paul shows us that it is he from prison that is writing to the Philippians and telling them not to be anxious for anything, including his imprisonment. See, the scripture teaches us not only with imperative, but also with example. Often reminds me of Peter the Apostle, who was arrested and put in prison, and they had determined that they would kill him the next day. And when God sent an angel to rescue Peter, he found Peter sleeping. That caught my attention. I don't know that I would sleep on the night before my scheduled execution. But is this not the Peter who said to us, casting all our cares upon him because he cares? He lived out his preaching. You see, Jesus teaches us this as well. Though anxiety comes upon us like an armed robber, we must make war against it. The saying is true in this regard. It is true that you cannot prevent, remember the saying, you might not prevent the birds from flying over your head, but surely you can prevent them from making a nest there. Well, the saying is true concerning anxiety. You might not be able to prevent every anxious thought from entering your mind, but surely it is your call and mine in Christian duty to prevent it from making a home in our mind and causing us to spiral into panic. You may not stop it, the thoughts coming in, but you can surely stop yourself from being an anxious person. The victory is possible, and it's not merely for a few things, but for all things. Be anxious for nothing. The word there is nothing. Now, so that you don't have to check, I took the liberty to check for you the Greek for nothing. I'm happy to report that the word nothing here means, wait for it, nothing. There is nothing in which we are allowed or warranted in view of God to be anxious. The command is not that we are not to be anxious in small things or the big things, but it is to be in all things. We must surely marvel if we consider that the one who is telling this to us is God, the omniscient one. This is the word of the omniscient God. He's not speaking out of ignorance. He knows all things, and he says here basically that he knows nothing that we should be anxious about. Let that sink, child of God. the one that is saying this to us, is not coming into 2026 the way you and I are coming into 2026, wondering what the year holds. No. He comes into 2026 as the one who has fashioned it and declared its end from its beginning, and that he did before the foundations of the earth. And the scripture affirms that all the days of this year were written in his book long before any of them were. And he says to you, be anxious for nothing. Nothing should cause the child of God anxiety in light of God, our Father. Not your marriage, not your business, not your job, not your retirement, not your wedding, not your relationship, not your wayward child, not your struggle with sin, not the state of the economy, not the soon coming elections, not the changing status quo in the world, not the possibility of AI taking your job, not the funding that was cut off to your department or organization. In the infinite mind of the all-knowing God, there is no cause for anxiety for his children. He says to us, be anxious for nothing. You may ask, yes, I want not to be anxious about all this, but how can I? Well, the text does not leave us without an answer. He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Sinclair Ferguson once said that the way to get rid of a bad habit is to replace it with a good one. Well, Paul's argument is similar here. Rather than encouraging the anxious thoughts, we are to turn them into prayers of supplication. Rather than give in to anxiety, we are to make supplication and request concerning all things to God. Why? Because there is nothing that is outside of the control of God. He rules and governs over all things. We are to cede back to God the illusion of control we feel that anxiety gives us, and by prayer and supplication make our requests known to him. Supplications are specific requests concerning the cares and concerns that we have. What is the scope of these supplications, you may ask? Paul says, in everything. Not merely in spiritual things, but in everything. Not in the big things, but in everything. Not just in life and death matters, but in everything. God is governing all things, and so he bids us ask him concerning all things. And therefore, I invite you, dearly beloved, this year, leave no stone unturned, no request unmade. Ask for the great things and the small things. Are you suffocated with anxiety about this coming year? In this year, this might be the year that the court case will be decided, or the divorce papers are due to be served, or the land dispute is being decided. Thus says the Lord, be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds. Why can we bring our requests to God? Well, Paul assumes implicitly what we have seen Peter tell us explicitly. We cast all our cares upon him because he cares. Jesus made the same argument in Matthew chapter 6 when he bid us against worry. And he said, do you not see that God is feeding the birds of the air and clothing the lilies of the valley? Jesus affirmed that it is God who feeds the birds and clothes the crops and the plants. Scientists estimate that there are currently about 50 billion birds on earth, and God feeds all of them. Well, you might say, well, those are tiny creatures. But did you know that the book of Psalms says that all creatures on earth look to God to feed them? It is God that is feeding the millions of whales in the dark of the sea. It is God that is filling the multitudes of elephants in the wilds. He even feeds animals and creatures that human beings don't know exist. God is concerned about stuff we don't even know exists. Dearly beloved, when was the last time you woke up in the middle of the night with a cold sweat? Babe, have the whales eaten? None of you have woken up in the middle of the night stressed that the lions might have slept hungry. And yet, you drive in your fancy, nice car to the national park and park it and ask for a guide because you expect that as soon as you enter the national park, the elephants will show up. You lifted no finger whatsoever to feed them, but you expect that they are there because in your heart of hearts, you know that he who neither sleeps nor slumbers cares for all his creation. Dearly beloved, listen to this. The whales do not bear his image. They have not been born by his spirit. He did not send his only begotten son to die for them, to make them sons of glory. He did that for you because he cares for you. And so if you have confidence to expect that God has fed them in Savo for you to go and pay a lot of money to see them, then surely you can have faith that God will care for you. God is more than qualified to handle your cares. You can cast them on him in prayer and supplication, for he cares. Perhaps it is supplication about fees, or rent, or business, or marriage, or your spiritual growth, or the life of your church. Be careful about nothing, but by prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God. And what will be the result? Verse 7 tells us, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It is striking to me here that it is not that the circumstances that will change. He doesn't say make your request known to God and guaranteed your circumstances will change. Rather, he says, what is guaranteed is the peace that passes understanding that will guard your mind and hearts in Christ Jesus. This verse does not guarantee that God will answer our prayers as we think he might. Granted, time will fail me to tell of Hannah and the widow of Zarephath and Samson and David and Elijah, all whose prayers God answered and changed their circumstances. And it is not unlikely, based on the testimonies that we have heard, and we know that God in his love and mercy will do many other things in this year, and we'll have testimonies where God changed our circumstances. But the truth is this, sometimes God answers our prayers, not just by changing our circumstances, but by changing us. And he says here that it is the peace that he guarantees. Whether God changes the circumstances or not is inconsequential. What he guarantees is that there will be peace. Peace means that we'll come to the awakened realization that God is in control and we serve the God who perfects all things that concerns us, and he will do it in his own wisdom, and it is on his own time. And therefore it is a peace that passes understanding. It is a peace that cannot be explained. It is a peace that has not come as a result of the circumstances. It is those that are looking at you going through this difficult time in your life and they cannot understand why you are at peace. It is that your business might be flopping or things are not working as they ought to or the economy is struggling, and yet there is peace that guards and garrisons your heart. Why? Because you have understood the greater truth that there is a God sovereign, providentially overruling every incident and event on the planet Earth, and he's doing all that for your good and my good, and in the end, it will indeed be well for all that are called by his name. That is our God. And so my prayer for you is that this year, God will give you that peace that passes understanding, that peace that goes beyond the conflict in your marriage, beyond the loss of your loved one, beyond the challenging economic time, beyond the case that was ruled against you. And this he has guaranteed to do if you will make your request known to him. One person has rightly said, the road to peace is paved with prayer. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. This peace is guaranteed in Christ Jesus. As all the gifts of God are given us in Christ, so also the gift of peace in the days that would cause anxiety is given us in Christ. And why in Christ? Because Christ cares for you. And how can you know that Christ cares for you? Because Christ took off of your burden, off of your shoulders, the greatest care that you would have ever borne. And that is the care for your eternity, the care for your sin, the care for your burden. Jesus Christ has sorted out your eternity. Do you think it is 2026 that he will not sort out? Jesus Christ has sorted out all things that pertain your peace with God in taking upon himself the cares of our sins and our burdens, and he nailed them to the cross. And therefore, this is my invitation to you who might be here and are not a Christian. Perhaps you are worried and concerned about what you will eat. Perhaps you're worried and concerned about what you will wear. Perhaps you're worried and concerned about an ailing relative. My non-Christian friend, all those are valid concerns, and God is looking and seeking opportunities to show himself strong to those that believe on him. But I fear that there is a far greater concern that you should care about, and that is your eternal destiny. But that has been sorted on the cross of Christ Jesus. And if you will come and look to that cross and turn from your sinful ways and lay aside your sinful lifestyle and put your faith wholly in Jesus, who bore upon himself the sins that you committed against God, making it possible for you to be accepted back in the beloved of God, and therefore it can be your testimony, just as it is mine and all those who call upon his name, that indeed, because Christ is our Lord, we care for nothing. Turn to him and live. Believe in Christ and be saved. My Christian friend, yours is the greatest encouragement, the omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent God is for you, and he bids you be anxious for nothing. Yes, we might not know what the year holds, but we sure do know who holds the year. And he says to us, be anxious for nothing. And therefore, I bid you by the authority of this word, this year, be anxious for nothing. May the Lord bless you.